The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, it's still Easter morning in some places of the world. I don't believe the sun has come up by the international dateline yet. So, as I tell you every year, my mentor in the Lord is convinced that Jesus was coming back on Resurrection Sunday. So I'm always prepared. I'm always ready to go. I practice, you know, the Saturday night, just in case he comes back, I can jump out of here and be raptured up into heavenly realm. So we got a couple of more hours for it to happen. Otherwise, we'll just have to wait another year. Maybe not. Maybe not. Well, we're going to take the series that we've been in for the last several months and use that as a springboard, as we did last week, about the Palm Sunday, or the great resurrection, the great celebration. And today we want to talk about that same subject as the life and the importance of life. And this is probably the pinnacle of life. This is the Mount Everest of life. This is as high as you can get. When you start talking about life, when you talk about the resurrection, that resurrection life. So the scripture we've been using to kind of get us going every week in our series is from Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. This is the story of Adam, when God created Adam. And breathe life into him. That's the first time we see life mentioned in context in the scriptures. And from there, every book of the Bible, in more times than I can count, hundreds of times, the story of life is mentioned in the Bible. So today on this Resurrection Sunday, what kind of life can we live? At Easter, we can live a resurrection life. And the scripture for today is one that's familiar to all of you. Jesus was crucified, died. He was put into a grave, a borrowed grave. The Jews were afraid that someone would steal the body, so they had the Roman soldiers, they went to see Pilate and got permission from him. He sent a contingent of Roman soldiers. They sealed up the stone that was rolled in front of the tomb. And that's would have been the end of the story. Except, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. The spices were part of the embalming process of the day. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And they said, "He is not here." Woo! And we've been saying it ever since. Got a video that I want you to see that Jim Corbin found for us, and it's called Alive with Hope. Jim?
Yesterday, the darkness was thick. The air unbreathable. Yesterday, we were defeated. Lost. Without hope. But that was yesterday. And now, a new day begins. The night is over. The sun is rising. Is online. Because this is the day that changes everything. This is the day we dare to hope. This is the day we are brave enough to believe. This is the day we face down every fear and brazenly look in the empty tomb. This is the day the Lord has made.
Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! This is the day life began. I just read you a scripture about when human life began, but this is when eternal life began. The Lord Jesus came up triumphant from the grave. You know what? We quickly forget the Word of God when we're faced with the reality of death. You know, it kind of sucks the wind right out of us, the wind out of us. It's very sobering when something dies. I'm not a tree hugger, but I do appreciate life in every form. And this time of the year, a lot of the squirrels are running around, and the little buggers are just are not too good about dodging automobiles. And it just kind of breaks my heart to see one of them. And I was driving out of our subdivision this morning, and there was one that didn't make it through the night. You know, so life is very precious. You know, and when we whether it's a little squirrel on the street, or whether it's a loved one, or whether it's the risen Christ who dies, it touches all of us in a very real way. And yet the sting of death is hard to bear. It's difficult to bear. Those who watched Jesus die felt the sting. I preached a sermon many years ago called Watching Jesus Die. But all the people who were there, the women who were there, the disciples that were there, the soldiers that were there, you know, there was a crowd. There were believers there and unbelievers, skeptics. And, of course, the two most famous people there besides Jesus were the two thieves on the cross. And they represent the believers and the unbelievers. One said, if you're so good, Jesus, just get off the cross and take us with you. And the other one said, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he said, just shut your mouth, you know. And he looked at Jesus, he said, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And here's the life. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. So those who watched him die felt the sting of it. But even in his death, eternal life was being born right there before our very eyes. Those who laid him in the tomb felt the sting. We've all had experience of going to the graveyard. Not a pleasant experience. They went. This Jesus, the miracle worker who changed water into wine, who raised the sick, who caused blinded eyes to see, who caused the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the despondent to be encouraged, the sinner to be forgiven. You know, he did all of these things. The hope of the people were in him. The disciples, especially those who knew him best. Remember the day Jesus asked Peter, he said, who do men say that I am? And he said, some say you're Elijah. You sang about Elijah this morning. Some say the prophet that was talked about would come in. And others said, you know, you're the great teacher. And Jesus asked a question that everyone in this room, everyone watching over the internet and listening to the sound of my voice has to answer. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And well, how would you answer that question? Peter answered it correctly. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I can almost hear Jesus say, wow. I mean, he was impressed. Wow. You know, he said, you know, nobody told you that, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't give you that information, but my Father who is in heaven revealed that to you. God wants to reveal his Son to you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to see him. Not in just his death, but in all of his glory. Those who walked away without him felt the sting. I think probably one of the longest walks is to walk away and leave someone you love behind and know you're not going to see him again on this planet. That's a lonely, lonely walk. But the remedy for the sting of death is just remember the Word of God. If you'll remember what the Word of God says, it takes it all away. These guys that were at the tomb when the women went, they said, "He is not here. He is risen." And Jesus told them that's exactly what would happen. So today, let's look a little bit at why resurrection life is so vital to life. And the first thing we want to talk about is that resurrection life guarantees eternal life. I searched for the right word, and I wanted to get one that guaranteed. Don't you like guaranteed things? If it's guaranteed, that means you're going to get it. Don't you like it when your savings are guaranteed and the stock market crashes and your funds are guaranteed by the FDIC because you didn't put them in the stock market, you put them in the bank, you know, and it was guaranteed? You like it when you got a car and it breaks and you go to get it fixed at the dealership, and he says, "Your guarantee is good for one more day. It's a good thing you brought it in today," you know, and you get it fixed free of charge. All the guarantees that come in life we really like. But this is a resurrection life guarantees something that you got to have. This is not a car. This is not a warranty on your money. This is a guarantee of eternal life. Let's pick up in verse 5 of chapter 24 of the book of Luke. In their fright, let me tell you what. I met some people in here today, some I didn't know, some I do know. If any of you lit up like lightning, I'd be scared. That'd put a little fear in you, you know. It's something you wasn't expecting. I mean, Charles, if you look like lightning, I wouldn't know whether to hug you or run. I wouldn't know what to do. You know, so in their fright, the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Everybody ought to be shouting by now, all right? Woo! Remember how he told you. He told you while he was still with you in Galilee. And this is what he told them. The Son of Man, that's the way Jesus referred to himself many times, as the Son of Man. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Then they remembered his words. You know, if we just remember the Word of God, we'd be a lot better off. Just remember what Jesus said. Jesus gives us promises. Sometimes I know many of you, I've talked to you through the years, you get dejected and down because you're sick or your money ran out or your car broke down or your dog barked at you or whatever the reasons are that you're down. And I always try to encourage you with the Word of God. You see, it's not my wisdom that'll do you any good. My wisdom will get you in trouble. There's a way that seems right unto mortals. That'd be me, a man, the Scripture says. And the ways thereof are the ways of death. So, but there's a wisdom that comes from God. You know, that wisdom that comes from God is what we need. We need to hear God. And when God says something, it encourages us. It builds us up on our faith. It gives us a reason to laugh again, to hope again, to realize that all the things that come against us in life, in fact, this phrase is used over and over in the Bible. It says, "It came to pass." It didn't come to stay. Things come to pass. You know, there's a new day dawning. Every day the sun has come up. The Lord says that every day is a new day with God. He said, "And his compassions never fail, that they are new every morning." So I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged. You know, God knows the dawning of the day before the night comes. And he knows what's going on in our lives. And he sees us. Over and over again, the Scripture said God sees us, says that he hears us. When Jesus died, all of him died, as far as the living were concerned. He was gone. There wasn't any swooning or any trick photography or photoshopping or anything else. The man, Jesus, died. All earthly communication with him was gone. His voice, his touch, his laugh, they didn't hear that anymore. He couldn't teach them anymore. He spent 3 years teaching the disciples. And they called him Rabbi. Rabbi is a teacher. They would ask him, "Teacher, what do you say about something?" He was always giving information. Teachers are good. You know, if you're in school, I said, I'm sure you kids are in school, it's a good thing to have a teacher. If you want to learn that 1 + 1 = 3, you need a teacher to tell you that. You know, we need teachers. And Jesus was a teacher, but his subject wasn't mathematics. His subject was all about life. Life. He spoke about life. He said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." He was the man who spoke about living and living after dying like he did, living after dying. He could not teach them anymore. He couldn't comfort them anymore to ease their pain. In fact, you know, it's interesting in the book of Acts, the first chapter of the book of Acts, he said, "I need to go away." This is after the resurrection, you know, when he was getting ready to leave. He said, "I need to go." He said, "It's better for you that I go away. Nick, if I was there and Jesus said to me, I saw him die, you know, my hopes were dashed. Then I saw him resurrected and my hopes were lifted up. And then he says, it's better for you that I go away." I'd say, "Hold the phone just a minute. This is not better for me that you go away." That's the wisdom of man. That's what I would have said. But he said, "If I go, I will send you the Comforter." See, he couldn't comfort him anymore. He had taken him as far as his job was to take him. But he said, "I will send the Comforter, the Helper, that will be with you always." And because of that, see, Jesus could only be one place at a time. Even after the resurrection, he was only in one place at a time. But the Holy Spirit can be everywhere simultaneously. That's how the Spirit of God can live in you. That's how he lives in you. That's how he's all over the world today. He's not limited by a body. The only thing that limits in some ways, and I'm probably going theologically into error to say this, but the only way you could limit where he is, since he's in us, if we're not there, in many ways you could say that God's not there. Because we are the body of Christ. You know, and we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, and wherever we go, we bring hope and life and comfort and touch and voice. All the things that Jesus did, we do. In fact, Jesus said, "The things that I do, you will do also, and what? Greater things." One of the great things we can do is we can be everywhere. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is everywhere around the world today. There are believers just like you, different cultures, different languages, doing things, but they're all doing the same thing today. They're saying, "Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive." And there's hope that rises with that. In the book of Acts, it said that the whole world was turned upside down. You know how they turned it upside down? Not talking about the crucifixion, talking about the resurrection. There was a resurrection that changed everything. It was a resurrection that got him killed. It was a resurrection that got him bald and all. It was a resurrection that got him beheaded. It was a resurrection that got the religious establishment upset and the governmental things upset. It upset everybody because they said that Jesus was alive. You know why they said he was alive? Because he was. He was. Hallelujah. See, the disciples were hopeless because they forgot what Jesus said. Are you guilty of forgetting what Jesus said?
I know.
Sometimes we live that way, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Say, why am I worried and upset about things? The most precious thing in life to these folks at that day was Jesus, and he was gone. And leaving again after he came back after the resurrection, why do we get so despondent and worried about life when Jesus is with us all the time? We need to remember that. It'll encourage us. Listen to what Jesus said. Some words to remember. He said a lot more than what I'm going to say. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. For you. For you. For you. And me. And you. And me. He said, you know, I like it when he thought when he said that. He said, you know, if this wasn't true, I wouldn't tell you. I'll tell you that if it wasn't true, he said, but I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. Where I am, there you may be also. Now that's words of comfort. That's words of encouragement. That'll make the Baptist shout. You know, it'll make the Methodist dance. I'll tell you what, we have a lot of things happening when you get encouraged with that word. And he said another thing. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He's coming back. He's not gone permanently. He is temporarily out of sight. He's sitting in the heavenly realm right now on the right hand of the Father, waiting for the Father to say, Jesus, go get the folks. Bring them home. Bring everybody home. And he said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back the same way that I left. That's what the angel said when Jesus left. He said, why? You know, we got more questions in the Bible about us. You know, so why are you standing here looking up in the sky? This same Jesus will return exactly the same way as he left. He said, go and do what he told you to do. Go do what he told you. He's coming back. You know, a lot of folks in the Jews didn't believe. They kind of lost hope. Well, he hadn't been here for thousands of years. Things have been just like they always been, and he's not coming. Well, he showed up, and they didn't even know it. Well, Jesus is coming back. And a lot of folks said, where is he coming? Where is he? You know, how come he hadn't come back? Just because you don't know when he's coming back doesn't mean he isn't coming back. That means he's coming. I remember when my granddaughter was staying with us a couple of years ago, and she was just a little tight. She was probably 5 years old or so, and her mother and daddy went off on a trip. And she must have asked us a million times, when's my mama coming home? When's my mama coming home? She got so despondent, she went and got by the front door. Our front door's glass like this one. She laid there, got in a fetal position, laying on the floor, sucking her thumb, waiting for her mama to come home. Man, I was crying. You know, where's that daughter of ours? She wants to be here. Looking for somebody to come back that you love. Well, the Jesus that you love, you can get in a fetal position and you can suck your thumb, or you can get up and dance and have a good time because he's coming back exactly like he said he would. And when he comes back, there won't be anybody guessing about it. They won't be wondering about it. They won't know what's true or not. He said, everybody, the whole world's going to see it when it takes place. Come on, that's going to be a great day. It'll be a great day. And he's coming back for you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. You know why he won't leave us comfortless? Because this life will make you need some comfort. I tell you, you get beat up enough, you need somebody to hug you and hold you and say, it's going to be all right. It's okay. This isn't the end. I'm with you. I had a good friend of mine, lost his wife in an automobile accident. And I went to see him in the hospital. He was up in Mississippi where the accident took place, and I drove up there to see him. And his name was Roger. I said, Roger, I said, man, I don't know what to tell you. But I'll tell you this. I'll be with you through this. So if you want to cry, I'll cry. If you want to laugh, I'll laugh. If you want to talk about Laverne, we'll talk about it. You don't want to talk about it, we won't talk about it. But I won't leave you comfortless. I'm just a human being who cared about his friend. But God said, I won't leave you comfortless in this life. There's comfort for us, and we just remember that God promised that and start looking for him. Instead of looking for the things that make us worry, let's start looking for the things that will comfort us. Go to the Word of God. Let it comfort you. Let the things that Jesus said comfort you. Let the things that are said by the psalmist comfort you. If you want to be comforted, go read the book of Psalms. You know why? David went through hell on earth. Can I say that in church? I just did. You know, he went through heck on earth. He went through a hard time. And you know what? He wrote about it. And he wrote about, God, where are you? My enemies are trying to eat me up. Everything's going wrong. You know, it is terrible every day. And then when he cried out like that, he said, yeah, but God, I know you'll take care of me. I know you'll show up. I know you're coming after me. I know I'm not alone. So the Psalms will encourage you. He said, I will rise again, and you will rise with me. Because he lives, we live also. That's the promise. That's the promise. You know, the grave couldn't hold him, and it can't hold you. We have victory over death, hell, and the grave because of what Jesus did. Because he's victorious, you're victorious. Said, well, Pastor, I don't feel very victorious. Well, maybe you should start reading the Bible a little more. You might feel a little bit better. No, stop thinking that it's just an old story that preachers like to do on Sunday morning and start believing what the Word of God says. What it says is true, and it's real. The Gospel of John. I'm going to give you a little lesson here. I'm going to be the rabbi, all right? The Gospel of John, the very first part of the Gospel of John, it says this, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You want to know what God's got to say? Go listen to Jesus. He is the Word of God. Jesus said, I won't say anything that my Father doesn't tell me to say. And he also said, I don't do anything my Father doesn't tell me to do. Your life would be a lot better and happy if you just tried to follow that a little bit. Just do what the Father tells you to do instead of what your mind tells you to do or what your arch enemy tells you to do. Jesus could not be found in the graveyard. And they looked. And everybody looked. I heard a guy preaching this morning. He said, there's nobody on the planet who's ever tried to dispel that. It's true. The grave was empty. The body was gone. Now, they didn't know where it went, but it was gone. And you know what? It's still empty. You can go to Jerusalem. You can go to the place where they got a couple of places. It's not real sure. You can go there, and it's still empty. And it'll be empty forevermore. The body of Jesus will never be in there again. Jesus could only be found among the living. There's a song that was written many years ago, and it ought to be here today for us to hear because it was so popular that I guess people just got tired of it. But we're going to resurrect it today, and some of you are going to remember it. It was written by a guy by the name of Don Francisco. And Jim, if you got that video ready, why don't you crank it up right now?
All the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. Gate began to rattle, a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary'd said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. 'Cause when at last it came to choices, I'd denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. He's alive. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive.
See why that song was so popular. He's alive. He's alive. I like this verse of the song. It says, but suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Remember when Mary washed his feet with her tears and dried it with her hair and anointed him with that perfume? And the fragrance was there. Fragrance was there. Sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove the shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and I clung to him and cried. You know, we all need to do that. We need to remember Jesus, and especially in a day like today. And let the resurrection be real to you in your life. Just cling to him. This world shakes too much for us. Things you hold on to just disappoint you. We get disappointed every day, from what's going on with the federal government to what's going on with the local government to what parents and children and aunts and uncles and cousins and friends and pastors, and just leave you shaken. But Jesus can't be shaken. And he's a rock that is stable, a rock that you can depend on, a place where you can hold on to. He's the anchor in the storm. He's the one that can take us through any and every situation in life. You know, I say this all of my Christian life, I've been saying it. And I don't know whether it originated with me or I stole it from someone. Either way, but it's still true. Jesus will save your soul. And the church will save your life. church will save your life. You'll have the eternal life, but sometimes you need people around you who believe and can help you. And you can say things too that the world wouldn't receive, but other believers will rejoice in. You can say, well, I had a dream or I had a vision. You know, you told me, Charles, last week about something. Oh, just we were going to get you to share that. Not today, but next week I want you to share that. And, you know, you told me, and I believed it. The world won't believe that, but in the church we believe it, you know. And we care for one another, and we pray for one another. We encourage one another. It says that we build one another up on our most holy faith. That's what the church does. That's what we're here for. We're a hospital. We're a resting place. We're a swimming pool. You know, we're a sandy beach. You know, we're a party. It's a good place to be among friends. That's what the church does for us. All right. The resurrection life encourages us to live. Luke chapter 24, verses 25 through 27 and 31 and 32. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. After the resurrection, several of the disciples just walking along the road. They're all by themselves on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus showed up. And he started talking to him. And they said, "Don't you know what happened today? Don't you know that the one we were counting on has been crucified?" And this is Jesus snuck up on them and was talking to them. And he began to explain what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Did I tell you that you got to go to the scriptures? That's where you get it? Then their eyes were open. They recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. This is the part I like. Oh, man. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us along the road and opened the scriptures for us? You see, the despair and disappointment disappeared when they heard the Master and the Word of God speaking the Word of God to those who were in need and giving them life and giving them hope. Our hope is in serving a living Christ and not mourning a dead Savior. Let me say that again. Our hope is in serving a living Christ and not mourning a dead Savior. Oh, we remember and we remind ourselves every time we take communion, but we're not living in mourning. We're rejoicing in life. Because he lives, we live too. If the end of the story was at Calvary, we are in trouble. We have no hope. There's nothing for us. He'd be a man just like anyone else. But the scripture says that he took all of our sins upon him at Calvary's tree. Now, if he didn't raise from the dead, that's not true. And if that's not true, we're still in our sins and hopelessness. But it is true. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, go home today and read it. It is true. Paul addresses that very issue. It is true. And because he lives, all our sins have been forgiven, taken away at Calvary's tree. Our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins were died for on Calvary's tree. All you have to do is believe it. Just have to believe it. Do you believe? Do you believe? They were told to remember Jesus, but more than the cross, believe that he is alive. I'm not going to go through it all today, but there's proof positive that Jesus is alive. They saw him die. Witnesses were there that saw him. The grave was empty. The Jews couldn't find the body. If they could have found it, they would have produced it. The Romans couldn't find the body. In fact, they paid the Roman soldiers to lie and say someone stole it. The disciples wouldn't have died the way they died as martyrs for a lie. They wouldn't have died for a lie. You might die for what you believe, but you won't die for a lie. If you know it's not true, you won't do it. Neither will anybody else. So it's true. And then Paul said, I think it was Paul wrote, he said there was over 500 people that saw him alive. That's a lot of folks. And I always say, if you get 500 Jews to agree on anything, it'd have to be true. If you ever had any dealings with Jewish people, they wouldn't call a hard-headed bunch for nothing. I've done business with them through the years. Good people, but boy, they're hard-headed. You know, and they make up their mind. And if these 500 of them agreed that he was alive, they saw him, it's got to be true. I heard somebody say this morning, I was getting dressed preaching, you know, you get 500 witnesses to something, you're going to win the case. You go to trial with 500 witnesses who say you didn't do it, you didn't do it. If you got 500 of them say you did do it, you're going to spend a lot of time in jail. All right? And 500 of them said, over 500 of them said, that he was alive. We study the scriptures because we see the living Christ everywhere. Open your eyes when you see the scriptures. You'll see life everywhere. The dead coming to life. That's the story of Adam. Go all the way back to him. If you would have seen Adam when God formed him out of the dust of the earth, he looked like a real man. You know, he had eyes and he had ears and he had noses and toeses and all the other stuff that you're supposed to have, but he didn't have any life. And when God breathed into him the breath of life, he became a living being. The same thing happened. Jesus was dead. He didn't have any life in him. But that resurrection life came to being, and he's been living ever since. That eternal resurrection life. The two disciples on the road, they were in great sorrow at the death of Jesus. But life rose up, and they understood the scriptures about Christ. Life is found in the Word of God. He explained the scriptures to them. I think one of the greatest failings that we have as a church is if we don't read our Bible enough. You know, it's hard to pray. I'll admit sometimes it's hard to pray. I mean, it's hard to keep your attention span going long enough to pray very long. You know, you think you prayed for an hour and you prayed for a minute and a half. You know? You ever notice when nationally we wonder if some big event took place and we said, let's bow our heads and have a moment of prayer. After 10 seconds, somebody's got to talk. I mean, you can't, a moment, 1 minute, you can't do that. But the scriptures you can read. And when you read the scriptures, the life that's in this book will radiate into your soul and it'll encourage you and build you up and help you deal with life itself. If it wasn't for the scriptures, we wouldn't know the story I'm telling you today. We're reading the scriptures. Not what I've got to say, but what they've got to say. And it's the scriptures that make our hearts burn within us when he talked to us along the road and opened the scriptures for us. Life is found in the Word of God because it's written about Jesus. This is the book. This is the book of Jesus. It's all about him. In a thousand different ways, tens of thousands of different ways. Life is found in the fellowship of believers. It's found right here in the body of Christ. I always found it interesting that God said that we are the body of Christ because that's who we are. We're the hands and feet of Christ. So, last thing I want to talk to you about this morning is resurrection life is Jesus. I even put it in red for you. And the question is, do you, and I'll put it in red for you, do you believe this? Do you believe that resurrection life is Jesus? Well, I'm going to prove it to you from the scriptures. Remember Lazarus? Everybody here know who Lazarus was? Lazarus was the guy who died. He was a friend of Jesus. Remember Martha and Mary? They sent the word to Jesus. He was in another town. Said, your friend Lazarus is sick. Come do a miracle. And Jesus said, I'll be there soon. soon. He waited a couple of days. When he finally showed up, Martha ran out to talk to him, and Martha was not happy. She said, "Your friend is dead. He's in the tomb. He's been in there for 4 days." Martha answered, said, Jesus said, told him, said, "He will rise up. He will be raised." And she said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, say it out loud with me, "I am the resurrection and the life." You know what that says in the Greek? It says, "I am the resurrection and the life." It says the same thing in Hebrew, French, Italian, any other language you want to say. It says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And then he says, "The one," just say, "I'm one." "I'm one." "All right, I'm one." "The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." You believe this? If you don't, you're in trouble. I'm telling you right now, if you don't, you're in big trouble. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you trust in him? Have you turned your life over to him? Say, "Lord Jesus, I trust you with my life." It's not enough to know about the resurrection. You must believe that he rose and that he did it just for you. You got to believe that. I know that what I'm about to say is, you probably have, many of you haven't heard it, depending on where you've been in your church life. But most churches teach you that if you will confess your sins, then you'll have eternal life. But if you sin, if you commit a mortal sin, you are dead. And you will go to hell until you confess that sin. And a lot of people believe that. No problem with it. It's nowhere in the Bible. Does it say that? It says when Jesus died, he died for all of our sins. And James, if those of you were here Friday night, when James Barron from Florida, we were watching him on the video, not video, but a live broadcast, and he brought this thing up about confessing your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He was talking to unbelievers. If you said, if you believe that you haven't sinned, you're a liar. That's what he says. And the truth is not in you. That's what the Bible says. But if you will agree with God, the word confess means agree. If you'll agree with God, yeah, I'm a sinner. I've done something wrong. And I've asked countless hundreds of people that question. Maybe thousands of people. Have you ever sinned? Nobody has ever said no. Nobody's ever told me no. Because we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So Jesus died for all of our sins. In the next chapter, in 1 John chapter 2, it says, "My little children." Well, who's your little children? The believer. That's you. Called your little believer. "My little children, I write this to you that you might know. That you might know that you have eternal life. For Christ died not only for your sins, but the sins of the whole world." See, the sin issue was taken care of at Calvary. Now we have another issue. It's believe. Do you believe it? Anybody who believes, by believing in me, you will never die. Do you believe this? It makes a difference whether you believe it or not. How much belief does it take to get you into heaven? How much? Let's go back to what I just, illustration I used before. Remember the thief on the cross? How much did he have? All he had is enough faith to say, "Will you just remember me?" He didn't confess any sin. He didn't say, "I'm a thief and I deserve to be here. Will you forgive me for all the things I stole?" And probably murdered too, you know, probably did. You know, they didn't, you know, hang you on a cross just for thievery. I mean, you got to be a pretty no good so-and-so to get crucified. And he said, "Would you just remember me?" And Jesus said, "Wow." I said, "Wow." Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." with me. That's what it's all about. That's what this book's about. That's what Jesus is all about. That's what the whole story of creation is about. That's what the story of the crucifixion and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus is all about. For us to know the story that he died for our sins, and because he died for our sins, if we would believe in him, we would not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Got a video I want to show you. Jim, you got that last video for me? This is a contemporary video. I think it'll speak to your heart.
This is what they felt like when it happened. And today, it's how we should feel too. Because what it meant for them, it means for us.
Woo! Woo! Oh, hallelujah! Woo! He's alive. I love that video. I love that. He's alive. Jesus died so that your sins would be removed. Jesus rose so that you could have eternal life. That's why he rose, just for you. Just for you, so that you would know. The resurrection is not an event. The resurrection is Jesus. You don't believe that? Let me back up here. There it is. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. All that Jesus said and did, all that was written about him, all that the apostles preached, pointed to the resurrection of Jesus. All who believe in him are, present tense, resurrected. You heard what I said? You heard what I said? All who believe and have received Christ into them, if he is the resurrection, you have the resurrection. If you have the resurrection, as far as God is complete, it's a done deal. And you have not temporary life, not going to pass away life, not life that may drip away and run out the drain, but life that is eternal. I'm not very smart when it comes to English, but I think eternal means eternal. That's a long time. That's eternal life. Now you might say, some of you theologians here, well, the people who died without God, they're going to live forever because you said they're going to go to hell and they're going to be in hell. They'll be in hell, but that ain't living, friend. That's not living. That's no life. Because God won't be there, and where God isn't there and the resurrected Christ isn't there, there will be no life. The only place you can find life in the entire cosmos of the universe of time and space, and outside of time and space, is to find the resurrected Jesus and get life from him. He is a source of all life. All who believe are resurrected already, because the resurrection, Jesus eternally lives. He lives, he lives, he lives within my heart. You ask me how I know that he lives. He lives within me. That's how I know. I know it because he lives within me. And you know it too if he lives within you. Have you ever received Christ into your life? I heard David Jeremiah say this morning, he was a teenage boy, that he received Christ into his life. He said, I didn't cry, I didn't weep, I didn't shout, and I didn't dance. He said, but I did feel something. I felt a heavy weight taken off of me. That's what happened to me. That's my story. When I was kneeling down in the chair in a guy's living room and I prayed and asked Christ in my life, and I said, I believe, when I stood up, this is God's truth, I'm telling you the truth. I felt so light, I looked down to see if my legs were still there. I felt like I was floating. All the weight of sin removed. Eternal life took residence within me. I received the righteousness of God, not my righteousness, but His righteousness. That's what we receive when we receive Christ. You receive eternal life. You get the whole enchilada all at one time. You get it all. And you get it for all eternity. What shall separate you from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And Paul says, no, in all these things, we're like sheep going to the slaughter. But I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor things present nor things to come, nor any other created thing can separate you, and me can separate us from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus. You know, we talk about God loves you all the time. That's not enough for God to love you. He's got to love you in Christ Jesus. This is my beloved Son. He said when he got baptized, with John the Baptist, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear him. Hear him. Hear him right here. Hear him right here. Hear him right here. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live. Even though they die, you will die. Your body's going to die and run out of gas one day. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? It's a matter of your will. You know, it doesn't say there that you have to understand it. It doesn't say you have to understand it. It just says you have to believe it. And you can choose to believe. Say, Lord Jesus, I don't understand it, but I ask you right now to come into my life. Just say that. Just right where you are. If you've never done it, just say, Lord Jesus, right now I invite you into my life. Just come in, Lord Jesus. I believe that you lived. I believe that you died. I believe that you rose from the dead. I don't understand it, but I believe it. The scriptures say, if you will agree with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you agree with your mouth, you say, I believe Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's as simple as that. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I choose to believe today. I don't understand it all. But right now, as best I know how, I receive you into my life. Would you forgive me of all my sins? Because I believe they were all taken on. Let me say that again. I believe that you took those sins on Calvary's tree. And they're gone from me now. Watch over me. Help me live for you all the days of my life. I'll see you in heaven, just like the apostles did when they saw you on earth. I believe. I believe. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. When Jesus came back from the dead, when he was rose from the dead, and he went to see the disciples, and they were stunned. One of them wasn't there. A guy by the name of Thomas. We all heard about Thomas. And when Jesus left and Thomas showed up, And they said, he was here. He's alive. And Thomas said, I don't believe that. He said, in fact, the only way I'd believe that is if I saw in my own eyes and I put my finger in his hands and my hand in his side. If I could do that, I'd believe. A couple days later, Jesus showed up. Thomas was there. Now, you know, that's what they call a weird moment. Because you just said, I wouldn't believe it. And Jesus said, Thomas, come here. Put your finger in my hands. Put your hand in my side. And when he did, he fell to his knees. He said, my Lord and my God. This is what I told you that to tell you this. Jesus said, Thomas, blessed are you because you see and believe. But blessed are those at New Beginnings Church on April the 21st, 2019, who believe and never see. Blessed are you because you believe and never see. Let's all stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I hope you're as happy as I am. Just, you know, 10% would be good enough, but you ought to be 100% as happy as I am that the resurrection is here. The resurrection guarantees eternal life. It encourages us to live. And Jesus, do you believe this? Do you believe this? I've already prayed for you. We have some refreshments in the back. We've got I don't know how you did it, but it looks like a king cake that's been made into a cross. I don't understand that, but we'll go for it. All right. Miss Erin can find stuff. She did it, all right? I know she did it. By the way, I want to thank those for the bringing up the great idea, putting some flowers out there for Nick on his knees, spent I don't know how many days out there painting those sandblasting and painting those flower pots. And for Pat and Judy, who came and put the whatever, and whoever else worked on the project, that's the only ones I know about. Is that it? Okay. If you just thought about it, you get credit too, all right? If you thought we needed to do it, we did it, all right? And it's done, and I appreciate all that you've done. Enjoy the day. Find somebody today. Go find one of your hard-headed relatives, one of your kids or somebody, and tell them Jesus is alive. And they say, I don't believe that. Said, well, you need to hear what Pastor Moore said to say. Because he read the Bible, and go read the story from him that we read today. I got the scriptures for you on your little bulletin thing that I handed out to you. So you got it with you, all right? The scriptures are right there. Thank you for coming. Good to see Tommy's family and with us today, his daughter and children, and each one of you that came. Be blessed today in all you do. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Amen. Woo!